this morning, the very first thing that I want to examine, we have a lot of ideas when we talk about the idea of a deacon. And certainly we've all heard the term before, but amongst different denominations and different traditions within the faith, that term can change a little bit. So the very first question that I want us to ask this morning is, what is the role of a deacon to the church? What is the role of a deacon to the church? Certainly when we say that we're going to set someone aside for work in the ministry, it makes sense that there's some things that we might expect of them, amen? Because let me tell you, if we're just giving out titles, I don't want one. There are some things that we expect from the Word of God that we expect the leaders of the church to be capable of or be engaged in, amen? And specifically, I want to look at three very specific things that we expect both of RL specifically, but of all of our leaders within the church and within the ministry, things that we can and should expect of leaders within the body of Christ, amen? The first thing that we need to expect of our leadership, deacons are servants. The very first thing that we need to expect and understand is that the role of a deacon is that of servant. I want you to read with me from 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm reading out of the ESV this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, and the Word of God says this. It says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd of the flock of God," or shepherd the flock of God, excuse me, "that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears," "you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Being an example to the flock, shepherding over those in your charge. See, the very first thing we see about leadership in the church, about deacons, is that we expect them not to be showing themselves in charge and, "Don't you know who I am?" The heart of a deacon, the heart of a leader, should be that of a servant. Out in the business world, we have a buzzword for it now. We call it servant leadership. Servant leadership, the idea that we lead people by first serving those whom we lead. And everybody, you go in the business world and they will tell you it's this brand new thing that's taking the world by storm. Y'all ain't read your Bibles recently, have you? This is not new. You might have come up with a new name for it, but this is not a new concept, the idea of leading by serving. And that's something that we expect out of our leaders. As a matter of fact, if we turn to Acts 6, we can see the calling of the first deacons. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number," so the church is growing, "a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." So as they would give out food and things, certain people were not getting properly taken care of. And folks were complaining like, "Hey, not everybody's being properly looked after within the body of Christ. Not everybody's being looked after." And the 12, so this is the disciples. "So the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty.'" See, here in Acts, we see the calling of the very first deacons, then that reason for the call was because there was more work within the body of Christ than what the pastor or disciples, the 12 in this case, there was more work going on than what the pastor could do all by him or himself. Amen? The disciples couldn't do all the work that needed to be done. How many of you know that that's still the case within the church today? I am not capable of doing everything that God would have this church do in our community and in our world. It takes the combined efforts of all of us to do that which God has for us. Amen? And so we see the 12 saying, listen, we're going to divide and conquer. And we're going to do these things, and we're going to call some specific men of God, and we're going to call them to do the things that need to be done and ensure that the body of Christ is taken care of. That word deacon, if we actually translate it out from the original, that actual word means nothing more than servant. The heart of leadership and the heart of being a deacon. The primary call of a deacon is to serve the body of Christ. So the first thing that we expect of a deacon, the first thing we expect of our leaders, is to be a servant and to have a servant's heart. The second thing that a deacon should be is a deacon should be a prayer warrior. A deacon should be a prayer warrior. I should have heard a lot of amens on that. Deacons are prayer warriors. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 5. Book of James, chapter 5. And this is a verse that should probably be very familiar to everybody. It's James, chapter 5, verse 14. And it says this. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. See, the Word of God gives us some specific things to do when we have a problem. And it says, if you're sick in body, you need to call a prayer warrior. You need to call the leadership of the church. This is a verse that we take very seriously here at Living Word. We believe in the truth of the Word of God as a whole. We believe in the truth of all of God's Word. But we take this very literally. Just this morning, I had one of you that said, you know, I need you to pray over me. I got this thing going on. No time like the present. And we prayed right now. Now that has two reasons. Number one, my memory ain't so hot, and I'll forget if I don't go ahead and pray right now. But the second reason, and I mean this seriously, if somebody asks me to pray for you, and this particular individual was having some pain in their physical body, so if Brother Bob's having pain and says, you know what, man, I'm hurting, I'm not feeling good, would you pray for me? Why do I want to make him be in pain for another hour or two so I can pray later? Amen. I want to pray now. Right. Why? Because the Word of God says, and if we had gone on to verse 15, and I apologize, I didn't put it in there, but the Word of God goes on to say that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. See, the Word of God gives us to expect, and that we should expect, that when the chips are down, when we have problems, when we're in the valley, when we have that situation or circumstance, not that you can't come to me. Please always come to me if you need something. But guess what? I am one guy. Occasionally I go to sleep. Every once in a while my phone goes dead and you might not be able to get me. And you know what? If that happens, you can call all sorts of folks, because I have every expectation that when we're talking about our church leadership, that you can call every single one of them at any time and say, listen, I need you to pray for me, and know that the person you're getting on the other end of the phone is prayed up, is knowledgeable in the Word of God, and is willing and able to stand with you in faith on the truth of God's word for you to receive that which God has promised. We believe that. So we set apart those who have the maturity in faith as well as the understanding of God's word to pray with you, to agree with you, and help lift you up in times of struggle. Now, God hears us all when we pray. Please don't misunderstand. You can sit out in the audience and pray, and God hears you. It's not that coming to a pastor or coming to a deacon, it's not that this is some sort of magical thing, you know, I'm going to go to this person and because of their position, something magical is going to happen. That's not what's going on here, right? But sometimes, as we're going through struggles, would it surprise you to know that I have had times in my life that I reached out to other men and women of God because you know what? I needed somebody to stand in agreement with me. Done it. I do it very often with my wife. I also reach out and talk to Pastor Bob. He and I have had a very close relationship in the faith for more years than I'm willing to admit, given that we're recording the service today. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to stand in agreement with somebody that we know knows the Word of God and that we know is going to speak the Word of God to us. We have every expectation that when we are speaking of our church leadership, when we're talking about our deacons, that they are prayer warriors, ready, willing, and able to help bear us up before God, standing in the gap before God for the body of Christ. Amen? So the first thing that we know is deacons are servants. The second thing that we expect or that we know is that deacons are prayer warriors. The third thing that I want to give you this morning is that deacons or church leadership should be an example to the body of Christ. Deacons should be examples to the body of Christ. The Word of God tells us that the behavior of deacons should meet certain standards of conduct or certain criteria. If you would turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses 8 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 8 through 10. And the Word of God says this. It says, "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued." That specifically means not telling lies, not gossiping, not saying one thing when I see you this morning. "Hey, Brother Terry, it's good to see you." And Baba, did you see what Terry was doing this morning? Have you ever known anybody like that? They say something and smile real big when they see you. And then they leave and go see somebody else. Double-tongued. "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine," meaning they should be addicted to one thing and one thing only, and that is Jesus Christ. "Not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless." Now let me talk about this just here for a moment, because there's a couple of things that are going on. The Word of God says some things that they should not be. They can't be addicted to much wine, meaning they can't be a drunk. They shouldn't be addicted to all sorts of physical things. And whatever that may be, drugs, alcohol, whatever. It says they shouldn't be greedy for dishonest gain. This is talking about money. Depending on your translation, you'll hear the term filthy lucre. Somebody who just getting money's everything. That's not what the Word of God is about, amen? They can't be double-tongued, just saying whatever to make people happy. So it says we can't do these things, but then it goes on to say, that they must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. When we talk about the mysteries of the faith, we're talking about the ability of someone to go and read and study the Word of God and help explain, both understand and help explain that to others. Now, does that mean that anybody, deacon, pastor, whoever, does that mean that anybody is ever going to fully, 100%, completely in all things, understand everything about the Word of God? No, absolutely not. But when you see a true leader within the body of Christ, I can promise you that that man or woman serving the church, serving God, I promise you that they have a deep and abiding love of the Word of God. I promise you that they have a desire within them to study and know more about the Word of God and about our Father. I promise you that. Because you can't get into serving God without Him putting that within you to know more about Him and more about who He is. That's holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. It says, and let them also be tested first. What does that mean? It means that as you go through your walk with God, you're going to go through some things. And what this is saying is, listen, when we're talking about leadership within the church, we don't expect somebody who got saved yesterday to be a deacon today. Why? Not that their love of God is not pure. Not that their attitude and their desire is not genuine. But they haven't experienced all the things that they need to experience yet to be able to truly be that example and help support others within the body of Christ. It says, listen, we need to give them a little bit of time. We need to watch them and observe them for a period. And then and only then, once we've seen the truth of that inward change, once we've seen their actions and behavior over a period of time, then they should serve as deacons. Now let me ask you a question. Is there anything in these verses up until, let's stop here. So through holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, is there anything in that first part of these verses that should not apply to everyone in this room, whether you are a deacon or not? Is there any one of you that says, well, you know, I'm not a deacon, so I can be double-tongued. I can go around, I can talk about everybody all I want to, and it doesn't matter because the Bible didn't say it to me. It just said, Brother R.L. R.L. can't do that, but me, buddy, I can go talk about anybody I want to. Does anybody feel like that's what the Word of God is saying here? Does anybody feel like being greedy for dishonest gain? Well, I'm not a deacon, so I can just go and mess over everybody in existence and get all the money I want, even if it's dishonest, because I'm not a deacon. Is that okay? In truth, this is not, while it is speaking specifically to deacons and or church leadership, there is nothing in these verses that's not expected of all of us in our walk with Christ. So why is it that the Word of God would specifically call out things that earlier He said to everybody? Right? All of these things, we can go into Scripture and find other places where God made those commands to everybody. Why is it that here we specifically call it out for deacons? See, the reason that it's called out to deacons is because it is expected that deacons and all of our church leadership are examples to the body of Christ. We expect that those in leadership, that we see in them the things that we expect out of ourselves to be. That does not mean that our leaders are perfect. I promise you that I am not. I thank my wife for not saying amen right there. Hallelujah. It's a good day. I promise you that I'm not. None of the men and women currently serving as deacons of this church are perfect. And I promise you, Brother R.L. is not perfect. Miss K. didn't say amen either. R.L., we're 2 for 2. We're doing good. None of us are perfect. But we expect, when we look at our leaders, at our deacons, at our pastor, we expect that we should be able to look at the people serving the body of Christ and that we should see in them the behavior that we expect of ourselves and that the Word of God expects of us. I do assure you that while I'm not perfect and Brother R.L.'s not perfect, I assure you that R.L., myself, and all of our leaders are seeking God that our walk may be as strong and close to the Lord as possible and that our actions are a reflection of Jesus Christ and cast a good light on our Savior. I promise you that. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make a mistake, but it means that we're striving to be everything that God has called us to be and to be an example to everyone within the body of Christ of what that looks like. So these are some things that we expect our deacons to be. And while today is a service primarily for R.L., as a church, I want you to know that we also have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to Brother R.L. this morning, amen? We have a responsibility to those leading the body of Christ. We have a portion to God in this area. And our responsibility is that we are to strive to model that which we see. We are to strive to model that which we see. We have to pray for our leaders before God just as they pray for us. As they set their walk as upright and pleasing before God, we have to seek to ensure that our walk is upright and pleasing before God. We have to ensure that we are a positive reflection for our Lord just as we see the walk of our leaders. We pray for Brother R.L. as he undertakes today the call that God has placed on his life. Not a call that I've placed on his life. And certainly while as a body of Christ we had a vote to recognize the call of God, we also recognize that we are not the one that issued the call. That call was from God himself. It was not from the pastor, and it was not from the congregation of this church. It was a call from God that he accepted and we recognized. And as we do that, we give the support to our leadership that they need to do the things that God has called them to do. Paul says that it's a noble thing to aspire to leadership in the church. And I pray that God will continue the noble and holy call that he's placed on your life. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother R.L. and Miss K. if they would to please come forward and stand here before the body of Christ here within this place. See, I specifically ask both Brother R.L., and if you would, please, you can turn and face the congregation. While the call of God in this case is directed to specifically to Brother R.L., we recognize that God does not call one person to service without calling the spouse that he has placed them with. As Kay is an integral and important part of his life, she will also be an integral and important part of his ministry and service. As we publicly set apart Brother R.L. to be ordained as deacon this morning, in just a moment I'm going to ask all of the ordained members of the body to come forward and stand in prayer with us in just a moment. But as we pray, we're going to be laying hands on Brother R.L. and Sister K. And as we pray, I want to draw your attention to three scriptures. Deuteronomy 34:9 the word of God said, and Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. And the reason for that, it says, because Moses had laid his hands on him. And so the people of Israel obeyed and did as the Lord had commanded. See, Deuteronomy tells us that Joshua was full of wisdom because he had had hands laid on him at the beginning of his service to our Father. Acts 19 and 6 says that when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. See, this verse tells us that those whom Paul laid hands on in Ephesus, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God to enable them to do the work that they were called to do. Finally, I want to draw your attention to 1 Timothy 4 and 14. And the Word of God says this. It says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. See, 1 Timothy tells us that spiritual gifts are imparted to the believer by the laying on of hands. Now, we know that none of those things are things that happen magically just because I touch somebody. Amen. We all understand that when we talk about the laying on of hands. It's important that we understand that this is not something that I have special because I'm the pastor. What we understand is that as we are obedient to the Word of God, as we stand in recognition of the call of God that God has placed, that we release, that we allow to be released into the lives of His servants that which God has for them to empower them to do the work that He has called them to do. Those are things that we expect and we can see in the Word of God based on the praying and laying on of hands. Amen. So at this time, I want to ask all of the ordained members of the body of Christ to please come forward. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm going to ask everybody, if you would, just to please kind of link up and lay hands on both Brother R.L. and Sister K. this morning. Body of Christ, I'm going to ask you this morning to please bow your heads as we pray and publicly recognize Brother R.L. to be ordained in the office of deacon. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray over my brother. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on him today in accordance with your word. Father, we thank you for the call of God that you have placed on him. And Father, we publicly set him aside and recognize the call that you have made, Father, of service to your kingdom and service to this church. Father, as we pray over him, we ask that you would do that which was said in the book of Deuteronomy. Father, that he may be full of wisdom and have an unquenchable desire to learn your word. Father, we ask that you would do as you said in the book of Acts. Father, that he would be full of the Holy Spirit and power. Father, that he may do your will and speak your words boldly, no matter the cost. And Father, that you would do that which you said in 1 Timothy 4, that he may be equipped with all the spiritual gifts to do the work that you have called him to do and to serve your people, both in the body of Christ and, Father, here in this body of Christ. Lord, in the very name of Jesus, we thank you for the call that you've placed on him. And, Father, each and every one of us ask that you would help us to equip him and support him to do the work that you have called him to do. We give you thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen.